nothing take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever, watch it here, is of a willing heart. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring in an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. So I want to talk about all the context within the church where you can do something for God, but first of all, your heart needs to be stirred up and needs to be willing to do it for Him. The Lord's church can do nothing unless God gives you a willing heart to do it, to do what the church should be doing. You need to be willing to try and live like this book tells you to live. You know our three goals here: fall in love with the Lord, fall in love with His book, and then live just the best way you can according to what God says. If you know me, you know that this church, we don't call you and try to find out who you're running with or what you're doing or what's going on. We just want you to try your best to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Ghost according to the Word of God, because they never contradict one another, and do your best for God. Now, that shouldn't be too tough. You should be willing to serve. You should be willing to give. Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. You don't give, don't expect a whole lot back. Because God gives according to your giving. It's what the Scripture says. And God don't judge you by what you give. God judges you by what you keep. Just thought I'd throw that in. You've got to be willing to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to be willing to give the gospel to others. The Bible says, let every man be ready to give an answer. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, you got to give them the answer. The world's got a lot of questions, and God has all the answers. You got to be willing to step up and say, I got saved. I trusted in Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Got to be willing to pray. Willing to spend time in the Word of God. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, the Bible says. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you have to be willing to do that. And on top of that, you need to be willing to give God the glory, for whatever you do needs to be to the glory of Almighty God. You need to be willing to find something in the church that somebody else isn't doing. When I went to a new church, I looked for something that nobody else was doing, and I'd stepped up and try to do it. Lighthouse Baptist Church had a little old 12-passenger van that some weeks we had 22 kids on it. I'd still be in jail if they stopped that van on us. I had them stacked up everywhere. Kids sitting in the center of that van, all huddled up there. And one little red-headed little girl looked at me one day when I'm driving the van down there. And she said, Brother Tom. I said, yes, sweetie. She said, why are your teeth so yellow? That's what she asked me. I said, from eating too many Fritos and Tostados and whatever. But you got to be willing to do some things. In verse 20 it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone, watch it, whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Maybe you don't have the right kind of spirit that will make you willing. One whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And what I want to look at here is God stirred their hearts. I want God to stir your heart. I want to stir your heart where you're willing to do more. More. More for the Lord. He did it all for you. He went to the mat for you. It says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Did you see that? I think sometimes our hearts get stirred up, but our spirit don't make us willing. We just make that choice. And NCIS is on tonight. I think I'll just stay home Wednesday night. God wants to bless you. And he will bless you. You just get in the battle. Get in the battle for the Lord. And all the women, verse 25, that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought which they'd spun, both of blue and purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any goats. I can find you a couple down in my neighborhood. We can get you. So we see here again that they did things for God, and they were motivated because their hearts were stirred up to do something for God. The children, verse 29 of Israel, brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring of all manner of work. All manner of work. A lot of this context is giving, but it's talking about all manner of work which the Lord had commanded me to be made by the hand of Moses. The Lord here had commanded them to do something, but it got done because they had been willing to do it. Got to be willing to do it. Hey, I'm not much. I'm really not much of a motivator. I don't say you go do this and you go do that and you go do that. Hey, you know how all this new addition got built? It wasn't because of the pastor. Because all these folks that had willing hearts to do it. Brother Dennis, Brother Teddy and Mary Ann, all these folks, Brother Phil, Brother Jim, they just did it. Did it. They just started doing the work. Because they had a heart stirred up to do what God led them to do. Nobody browbeats anybody to come out to visitation. People come because they have a willing heart. That's every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. We'll meet here. Right now they're doing door knocking. Hey, we still knock on doors. We still tell folks Jesus saves. Jesus is the answer. All right. Exodus 36 and verse 1, then wrought a Bezaleel and Eliab, I can't say these names half the time, but every wise-hearted man whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to the work to do it. What are you smart about? What are you good at doing? I tell folks I'm almost good at a lot of things, but I'm not good at much of anything. But I'm almost good. If you're good at something, you need to let the church know that. You need to let the Lord know that so you can put the talents and gifts that God gave you to work for the glory of God. I don't think that's not asking too terrible much. Has God given you wisdom, understanding? Do you know how to work all manner of work? A lot of folks in here, there's men in here can do all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff, man. And you know me, if it says assembly required, I don't buy it, Brother Dale. I don't buy it. Man, my dad told me I'd mess up an anvil. And that's kind of how I am, boy. And Moses, verse 2, and Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. Verse 3, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough. They didn't just bring what they needed. They brought more than was needed. Said everyone, and they bring, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Now we'll find from Scripture that if our hearts are stirred up, if we're willing to do something for God, we find that God is always the God of more than enough. More than enough. But it takes willing hearts, stirred up hearts. In Haggai 1:14, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And you'll see this theme over and over and over again throughout Scripture. When God stirred up the spirit, things started getting done. You can't be lackadaisical about the work of the Lord. It's too important. It's too important to roll over and play dead while their soul's going to hell. We've got a work to do, and little as much when God is in it. Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. There it is. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We've got a country today that much of it is given to idolatry. Anything and everything but the Lord our God. And Paul saw it and he wanted to do something about it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, well, a willing heart. Number two, a spirit leads you to serve. Number three, it says, now therefore perform the doing of it. Not only be willing to do it, not only let your heart stir you up to do it, but do it. Any of you folks in FFA in high school? I was. And you'd call roll of officers, and the president would be stationed by the plow. And I'd say, well, why by the plow? And he said, the plow is the symbol of labor and tillage of the soil. For without labor, neither knowledge nor wisdom accomplishes much. Man, I've been to churches around this country. They're so spiritual and so scriptural that they're unscriptural. They'll know the book backwards and forward. They can talk to you about eschatology, numerology, and whatever kind of ology you want to talk about. But when it comes to going out and witnessing to the lost and winning souls and doing the work of the Lord, they won't do it. Oh, they're dead to sin, but they're not alive unto God. The Bible says, be dead to sin, but he also says, and to be alive unto God. That means you've got to become a living sacrifice, which God said is your reasonable service. You got to be willing to do it. Spirit needs to touch your heart, stir your heart up. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. God's not wanting you to write a post-dated check for 6 months from now. He wants you to give out of what you've got, what you have, not what you don't have. He'll take what you've got. He never asks you for something that you can't give him. He said, is accepted according to that a man hath. He said, he'll accept what you've got to give and not what you don't have to give. It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according that he hath not. A fellow once said that the best ability is availability. There are several of those going there. Dependability. Make yourself available for the Lord's work. God wants you to do. He only wants you to do what you're able to do. If you're good at something, put it to the Lord's use. I think what we find many times, you find the good singers want to do the carpenter work, and they're sorry at carpenter work. Let the carpenters do that. Don't pick something you're sorry at and say, "I'm going to give that to the Lord." He don't need you. He chose those who were wise-hearted and who God gave talents and gifts. He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." My, my, my. You're able to sing, God can use you. You're able to drive a church van, God can use you. You're able to cook for someone who can't do it for themselves. Maybe somebody just got out of the hospital, God can use you. You're able to give to somebody in need, God can use you. If you got money, God can use your money. It all belongs to Him anyway. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We all belong to God. Everything belongs to God. All things were made by Him and for His pleasure. If you're able to sweep off the sidewalks, God can use you. If you're able to water the flowers, God has a need for that. You're able to pray for someone. Boy, the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. I talked to Cody Jones this week. His mama went into the emergency room at Batesville. They shipped her to, I think, University Hospital. They were going to do surgery, but the University Hospital said it would have killed her. Said she needs a liver transplant. She's in bad shape. Folks started praying. Cody's got a lot of friends. We put it on our church prayer list. 2 days later, she went home. What's that about? God's people calling someone's name in prayer to the Lord, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. My, my, my. If you're able to give, give. The work, it costs money to run a church. It costs money. Give what you're able to give. God loveth a cheerful giver. Support the work. Support it with your time and your talent. With what you have to give, you give it to God. Make it available to God. Verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Verse 13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but if somebody's doing something for God, then we need to look around and see, well, what isn't being done that maybe I can do, or maybe I can support that person and help that person in what they're doing." But it all begins with a willing heart. Willingness to serve God and let God stir your spirit up within you, burden you down for the things of God. Nehemiah 4:6 says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Wow. The people had a mind to work. I remember as a boy, I grew up on a farm, same farm where I built my house. I'd be out carousing then Friday night, get in, snuck in when nobody is looking, about 2 o'clock in the morning. About daylight, my dad would say, "Tom, get up! We gotta load that corn." I guarantee I did not have a willing heart to get out of bed to help Dad load that corn. It's like a knife that ran through me when I hear him yell for me to get up. Man, I'd feel awful. I think some of that applies to some of you folks for the church. Somebody asks you to do something for God. I don't want to do that. What's that about? What that's about is you're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You're neglecting some things that would help to stir your heart to make you willing to do the work. What does it take to stir you up this morning? What would it take to make you willing to do something For the very Lord that saved your soul, promised you eternal life, promised you a mansion. Does the lost stir anybody? Seeing folks dying and going to hell every day, folks without the knowledge of the holy, without the knowledge of the simplicity of Christ. Does your children stir you to come to the house of God, to bring them? Maybe a faltering marriage, maybe that would stir your heart to come to God. How about a wayward child? Would that stir your heart to come to the house of God and seek His mercy and grace and help in the time of need? Just what would it take? What does it take? Maybe we have a tragedy, and I've seen people over and over again want to make deals with God. I've heard people tell me, said Tom, Brother Tom said, I promise God if He'll get me out of this hospital bed and get me home, said, I promise I'll be in church every Sunday. I done promised the Lord I was gonna do all this stuff for the Lord if He'd only get me out of this mess I'm in. My. You know what? Most of those folks, I've never seen it happen where they followed up. They wrote a check that their flesh couldn't cash. You know what? If God says a purpose in your heart, I don't make any vows to God because I know my flesh is weak, and just as soon as I promise God something, I'll let Him down. So I say, Lord, I purpose in my heart to do this for You. Lord, I purpose in my heart according to Your grace and the mercy and grace You'll give me to do it that I'm going to do this thing for You. What have you purposed in your heart to do for God? Is your heart stirred up? Maybe you're just kind of apathetic to the things of God. What's the old story that asked the fellow what he thought the biggest problem was in the church, ignorance or apathy? And he said, I don't know and I don't care. That's kind of how it is. A lot of folks just don't care. And we'll see this lost and dying world. We'll look at that craziness and wickedness out on the West Coast. And we'll think, boy, it'd be nice if God just took that out in the ocean. You got a problem there if you think that way. God said, he that is glad at calamities will not go unpunished. You need to support some mission work out in those neighborhoods. You need to get a burden because it's a lost soul. That's what I was. I came to this world dead in trespasses and sin. Today I'm an ex-convict because I was in debt and sin. I was convicted by my own sin. And when I trusted Christ, He took all that away from me. And He gave my heart, stirred my heart to do something for Him. All the years I was on the road playing music, Brother Phil Gabbard was out there and Bonnie just beating the bushes up and down the highways, preaching wherever they'd have him in to preach, preaching the gospel, street preaching. I wrote a song, Street Preacher, about Brother Phil and Bruce McDowell. They preached on the street everywhere they went. Any little church that'd have him in, he preached. He'd go down the road, pull off the road as soon as he left the church and open up the envelope, see if there's enough gas money in it to get him to the next place. But his heart was stirred up and is willing to do the work that God had called him to do. Is God speaking to your heart this morning? Let me challenge you today to purpose in your heart to find out the gifts that God has given you and give to the work of God. Maybe you're comfortable. Give some money. I think a lot of are too at ease in Zion. We just don't have that burden. Get burdened to do something for God. And we're not a rich church. I used to tell folks, you know, that lifestyles of the rich and famous. They asked me to appear in one that said the lifestyles of the poor and obscure. That's my crowd. Everyone stand up this morning. Now listen, before you can go in the vineyards and go to work, your heart has to be right with God. The way your heart becomes right with God is you reach out by faith and ask the Lord to be merciful to you, a sinner. The Bible says we're none righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you agree with God about that? How can two walk together except they be agreed? God says you're a mess. Do you agree with him? Whenever you agree with God that you're a mess, you're a candidate for salvation. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't say you might be. It said you shall be. Oh, and you say, well, I'm going to clean up my act first. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He'll accept you for salvation just exactly like you are. If you're here and you've never been saved, why don't you step out this morning? He won't refuse you. Why would he refuse you after what he did on the cross to save your soul? Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him come. And whosoever will, let him come. Won't you come as we sing?
270.